This podcast is brought to you by the Legarten Institute. I'm Sianne Hansen, Executive Director, and we hope you enjoy this conversation.
Good evening, my name is Mary Schutzer-Weissman. I work at the Legarten Institute for the Cultural Prosperity Programme, and here with me tonight is Victoria Bateman, who is Director of Studies for Economics at the University of Cambridge and also a Legarten Fellow. And she's here with me tonight to talk about Manchester. Which city in history do you think has been most important for human flourishing?
Well, the first city dates to around 8,000 years ago, so there are so many to choose from.
Yep.
So to try and avoid the question a little bit, what I'm going to say is that what I think is important is competition between cities, interaction between cities. I think that's what drives economic growth, expansion in the long run. So I think in addition to that, what I would say is obviously if you look over that 8,000 years of history, there have been different drivers of city growth. So you have some that are based on religion, and that have been home to important religious figures. You have others that are military-based installations. You have some that are based around political institutions. And then you have others that have been more market-based, home to entrepreneurs, and still others that have been centres for the arts. And what recent research tells us, and this is research that's only come out over the last few months, and it studied 1.2 million historic figures over the last few thousand years, and that covers 2,000 cities in 30 countries. And what it's found is that of all of those five different categories of historical figures, so from religious figures through to political, military, entrepreneurs and artists, it's actually entrepreneurs and artists that are the most important for defining a successful city. So obviously, somewhere like Venice in the Middle Ages. And what I'm going to be talking about tonight is how we can think of Manchester as being the Venice of Britain. And it's by playing to the strengths, not just in entrepreneurship, its history of industrialism, but also increasingly in the creative industries, that Manchester can become a successful city of the future.
But cities as opposed to, for example, nations or
states. To some extent, that's right, though the OECD does see cities as drivers of economic growth more generally. Mm-hmm. Concentrations of people in a similar location that lead to deep labour markets, so labour markets where you have pockets of experienced people, where you have firms that can share ideas very easily that are located close together, and where you have markets that can set up for specialised machinery, raw materials and so on. So the agglomeration of people in certain locations actually does help to fire economic growth more generally in the economy. And so you see a lot of R&D activity, patent activity, investment, all of those things going on in cities, driving growth more generally in the economy.
I have to accept your question, Dodge, because that was such a good answer. But which city has had the greatest impact on you in your life personally?
Well, I'd probably have to say to begin with Manchester. It's the city that first got me interested in economics. So I was growing up there in the 1980s. It was a period of real economic decline. And I grew up in an average working class family. There was a lot of deprivation in the area in which I lived. But at the same time, my grandparents made me very aware of how great the city once was, of its importance in driving modern-day prosperity across the world and how it once rivaled somewhere like London. And it's that really that drove my interest in what makes cities and economies successful and how it is that they can go on to experience decline and what we can do about that and the difficult social problems that come along with that, how we can address those.
And for you, which city is the one to watch for the future?
Well, the last century, possibly the last two centuries, have really been the time of urban expansion in Europe and North America. The century ahead will, of course, be the age of urban expansion in the East and in emerging markets. At the moment, something like one in two people in the world live in cities. That's projected to be 85% of the world's population by 2100. So the majority of people. Now, most of that city expansion will come outside of the now developed economies. By 2030, we expect that 7 out of the top 10 mega cities will be in East Asia.
Okay, so somewhere in East Asia for you. Just keep an eye on that general region.
That's right. I think the most successful of those cities will be the ones that do best in resolving what has been the perennial problem restricting city growth, which is waste and sanitation.
Right.
It seems very basic, but actually the biggest constraint on city growth, it's not getting food into the city to feed the population. It's actually dealing with the bare necessities of waste and sanitation. And there you could say that perhaps China has been doing a better job than some Indian cities. So really, in terms of where the most successful cities will come from, it will be those that deal with the basics.
Your lecture today is on Manchester, which you've already mentioned, but why particularly should Manchester matter to us today?
It's a city that shows both the best and the worst of what capitalism has to offer. So it's a city very much with foundations based on markets, trade, individual ingenuity, rather than based on political institutions and state expansion. It was, as I'm going to talk about this evening, in many ways the home, the beginnings of the free trade and laissez-faire movement in the 19th century. In fact, Manchester even has a great grand building called the Free Trade Hall.
Yeah.
Social mobility in the Victorian era, mid to late 19th century, was actually on a par with that in the 1970s. So those markets and trade brought opportunities for people to literally go from rags to riches. And Arkwright is one of the famous figures of the cotton trade that was able to do that. But at the same time that it brought the best of capitalism, it also brought the worst. And so you saw the way in which, as the city expanded, lacking state intervention in areas such as waste and sanitation, the city became very unhealthy. People like me living in Manchester were short. They didn't live to a very ripe old age. You would witness multiple deaths of children, of your own children, in your lifetime. So it was a very unhealthy place, and the authorities were quite slow to try and address that, and it was only really once they did that that the city could become as creative and as productive as a city truly can be. You know, it's very difficult as a worker or as an entrepreneur to do your best if all the time you're thinking of an empty stomach or if you're feeling ill. So there are important lessons there, I think, for cities expanding today.
And presumably for how they deal with, you know, the issues of deindustrialization, industrialization,
yes,
and so forth.
That's right. So that's another aspect of the worst aspects of capitalism. So after a golden age, really, in the 19th century, the 20th century brought a big social and economic decline to Manchester. We could probably date the beginnings of the North-South divide in Britain to the 1920s and the 1930s, and that continued through to World War II. The government today is engaging in a program of rebalancing that very much involves the Northern Powerhouse project. I think there's much to be learned from that, but at the same time, we need to be very careful when we put that into practice.
And presumably also what you mentioned earlier about that, the important two aspects, entrepreneurship and creativity.
That's
creativity,
right,
is so much linked to Manchester today.
Absolutely, yeah. So I think one of the problems with this whole idea of rebalancing is in some respects, we want to go back to the past. We want to go back from finance, back to industry, when actually instead of going back to the past, we need to go into the future. And that means putting more effort, perhaps more funding into arts-based projects, into creative industries. And I think one of the things that Manchester has done very successfully is to take the energy and the radicalism that has come from economic and social decline and to channel it in a productive as opposed to an unproductive direction. So through the music industry, through TV and filmmaking, you know, all of those areas, a new strength really to Manchester. The fashion industry is another one, and there it's where past meets present and where entrepreneurism meets the arts. And that's why I feel very positive about Manchester in the years to come.
Well, thank you very much, and we're looking forward to your lecture.
Thank you.
To hear more podcasts from the Legatum Institute, please visit our iTunes channel or website at www.li.com.